almost every day for the last 3 years, we were discussing Chaplin.
To the point when I saw my Philip Quint come on my text, I just, rolled my eyes, went to this, well, not again. Now what do we need to fix?
Violinist Philip Quint and pianist Marta Osnivorian have spent a lot of time digging into the music of Charlie Chaplin. That's right, Charlie Chaplin wasn't just a silent film star. He was a very active composer, and he was inspired and knew many classical composers. You'll find out more about Chaplin's inspiration and how this new recording, Chaplin's Smile, came together this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher. I'm talking with Philip Quint and Marta Osnivorian. They have just released a new recording called Chaplin's Smile, and they're celebrating the music of Charlie Chaplin. So tell me, when did the two of you become familiar with the music of this well-known film artist?
I think we were familiar with the music since our childhood, but I think neither of us ever knew that Chaplin wrote that music. And my first encounters with Chaplin were in Soviet Union, where I was born. I have seen his movies multiple times, and I was familiar with the image of Chaplin. I don't think I ever thought much about what the stories were about, what the titles of the films were about. But I was familiar with his art and crafts. And when I moved to the United States in 91, I do recall being able to buy those VHS tapes, I think secondhand VHS tapes, because that's all I could afford at the time. They were $5. And my first ownerships were City Lights and Limelight and I Think the Kid. And never in a million years I thought that I would be recording music of Charlie Chaplin, because it just was not by any means a fact to anybody that he was a prolific composer, not just someone that wrote a few songs, but he was the person behind the soundtracks. Now, the story of how I discovered that he was a composer is quite different. So about 3 years ago, I was in the process of putting some original ideas together and some new concepts of the CD. And one of my great interests over the last decade were composers that wrote music for film or film composers. I really still find that some of that music has been either neglected or underappreciated, such as Korngold, for example. And Korngold is one of my most favorite composers whose music I've played for many years. So this was the direction I was taking with this project. And I stumbled upon a song called Smile on YouTube. And after listening to this arrangement, I thought to myself that I would love to have my own arrangement of the song. And I started listening to many different versions of the song that were by Nat King Cole and Michael Jackson and I think Tony Bennett. I mean, there was a whole slew of great artists that recorded the song. And at some point, as you may know, YouTube has this very interesting function of throwing you from one clip to another. And I was thrown into the soundtrack of Limelight. as I mentioned before, I knew the movie, but I heard this glorious melody on the soundtrack. And I thought to myself, well, this would be a great melody for violin. And I think I would be speaking on behalf of many violinists. We believe that every beautiful melody will sound better on violin. and this sort of paved the way to the beginning of this project. I had these two arrangements, or rather songs on my hands that I wanted to put together in arrangements for violin and piano. And this is when I asked Marta to join the board. We met and I shared that I have these two songs at the time. And around the same time, I also digged a whole album of his song that was published by Born. It's Chaplin's publishing house. And those songs were very simple. They were very nice, but they would not work in its original form for violin and piano. So now, to make a very long story short, we spent about 3 years putting together these songs in collaboration also with two arrangers, Charles Coleman and Leon Gurwitch. And now, after 3 years, we have a whole album, and it's just hard to believe that we're at this finish line in terms of having the product out, having the CD being played. So it's rewarding.
Marta, what was your reaction when Philippe first came to you asking you to be part of this project?
Well, of course I was curious as to what this project was all about. I mean, I did know, well, to be honest, I don't think any of us really knew how much music he actually was responsible for. And that's the one thing we're coming to terms with, is our audience is feeling the same way. So I was very surprised to hear what he presented to me. I was curious as to how we were going to make, when I did go on YouTube and listen to these melodies and these orchestrated versions of the soundtracks, how are we going to translate this to violin and piano. You know, it's one thing listening to a very simple melody as you're watching a screen and watching something unfold, and it's another to take away that screen and hear that simple melody on stage. So I knew there was going to be a lot of, in collaboration with the arrangers, there was also a lot of work amongst ourselves, trial and error, what worked, what didn't work, transitions. A lot of these melodies went from scene to scene, and we had to somehow create a very fluid, full connection and piece of music with an introduction, a middle, and an end, which is very unlike his soundtracks, of course. Definitely provided its challenges, but we also learned an incredible amount of, we learned a lot about arranging, about each other, about, you know, he would change his part, and of course, undeniably, I had to change mine. You know, it was just always a trickle. One was definitely related, was connected to the other part, of course. You know, it was just wonderful, though, translating, you know, it's been so great to play these melodies as Chaplin's music is so incredibly character-driven. Music was so important to to his films, as it conveyed the emotional content of his movies. And I always love being a part of that emotional creativity. You know, I love performing it. I love being part of the creative process. And it's just been an incredible journey that Philip and I have embarked upon.
And it was not always smelling the flowers, you know.
No, just, we had a few kick-out, drag-out arguments, about, which is, you know, we've been working together for 10 years. So we're very comfortable with each other. We respect each other, yet we have no problems raising our voices and making our opinions
matter.
matter over the other. So...
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more. Can you give me an example? Is there one piece that you can say, oh, here's where we really kind of duked it out and came up with this solution?
Well, I mean, there are several pieces that created a number of challenges for us in terms of putting it together, especially the bigger works like the City Lights Suite. Those were the larger works on the program, and that required, as Marta mentioned earlier, seamless transitions from one song to another. And the one thing I also would like to mention that initially when we heard those melodies and tunes, while they were very simple, they were also very charming. So mm-hmm. in a way, Chaplin's music has almost Mozartian grace, and the melodies come from the period of some of the great charming music by George Gershwin or Fritz Kreisler. So I immediately thought that we could, you know, extend the violin piano repertoire with those encore selections. And with the bigger selections, as I said, we you know, had to deal with the challenges of what will work the best structure-wise. So to add again to what Marta already said, sometimes we would complete an arrangement, and the bigger ones as well, and then we would perform it for several friends or even in a public performance. And on several occasions, we also even went to the studio already to record it. And then after those recordings and after those performances, we would come back and we would discuss it and we would argue and sometimes very emotionally argue about what doesn't work, why it doesn't work, how we should connect it. Mm-hmm. We should, you know, we need to, you know, change the structure, expand the structure, cut some of the things. And it was just a constant, ongoing, daily process. Almost every day mm-hmm. for the last 3 years, we were discussing Chaplin.
To the point when I saw my Philip Quint come on my text, I just, rolled my eyes, went to this, well, not again. Now what do we need to fix? So, but it all was worth it as... I think we came pretty darn close to completing what
we... Well, just
we,
making the best out of the material we, that mm-hmm. we had.
Yes.
Let me just ask the question, what did you learn about Charlie Chaplin? Because I know he didn't read music. What else was unique about Chaplin as a musician and a composer?
Well, what I learned from Chaplin was everything... You know, his music was inspired also by his past memories of his hardships in life. So really by listening to his music, and it revealed things of his past that were really quite tragic. I mean, he had a tragic upbringing. He was, you know, he was basically living on the streets. His mother and his grandmother were in halfway houses due to insanity, and they were just incapable of taking care of Chaplin and his half-brother, Sidney. So the two boys were left on the street, you know, left to fend for themselves. Their father was an alcoholic. And that's basically where they learned to entertain, to do anything they really could for a halfpenny, you know, for any sort of money that, to keep them alive. You know, another example that I, you know, love to jump to was when he was already established in the United States and already making movies, but he did marry, he was married in 1918, and... It was kind of to Mildred Harris, and I think that's her name. Yes, he was married to Mildred Harris, and she was a very young girl, 17 at the time. And it was a very little bit of a dead time in his career. His creativity had pretty much sort of waned, as maybe perhaps mirroring sort of a dead marriage. But they did have a child. Actually, they gave birth to a malformed little baby boy, and he died 3 days later. About 10 days later, he was back in the studio interviewing little boys, because suddenly he had his obsessively new idea and creation, which was originally called The Waif, but the name turned to be The Kid. He was tragically very affected by the death of that little baby boy, and that turned into his new creative process. And The Kid is just the most heart-wrenching, one of my favorite, I think perhaps for Philip as well, one of my favorite movies of Chaplin's. And it just really mirrored his devastation. The Kid, of course, is about he takes upon an orphaned little boy, and he raises this boy and their relationship together throughout the years. Just amazing, just great footage. But it comes to a tragic end where the state takes this orphaned boy back, and the scene of devastation when the state is taking away the boy from Chaplin is so heart-wrenching. And it really mirrors Chaplin's, perhaps when they were taking his mother away at the age of 7. You know, it's just a very heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching scene. And Chaplin is crying as he's coaching, I believe the actor's name was Jackie Coogan, the little boy. He was coaching him how to cry as they were taking him away from Chaplin. So I think through his music, through his films, we learn so much about his tragic past and what basically is the basis of his creativity.
Philippe, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, everything that Marta said is certainly an indication of what drove Chaplin as an artist and later on as a composer. He was an amateur composer, amateur violinist, cellist, pianist, and later on, of course, also picked up a little bit of conducting and arranging on his own. He could not read the music, this is absolutely true, but he had such a versatile knowledge of classical music and what he wanted for his films and for the scenes. He was incredibly precise in describing to arrangers what kind of music he wants. He would come into the studio and he would hum a little melody, and he would say that this one I want to sound like Chopin, this one I want to sound like Rachmaninoff, this one I want to sound like Debussy, and it just went on. And, you know, even during his stage of greatly admiring George Gershwin some years after the premiere of Porgy and Bess, and Rhapsody in Blue as well, he implemented a little quote from Rhapsody in Blue in his Modern Times. We just recently learned that in Smile there is a little homage to Tosca. You know, he was just a very creative, imaginative individual that had a great instinct. I think that's what made him different from everyone else that was working at the same time with the same tools, essentially. And, you know, it was a fascinating journey for us to discover Chaplin as a person and as a composer. And we also now have a little contact with Chaplin's family, mm-hmm. and his granddaughter, Kiera, actually opened for us in New York, London, and LA last month. And this was sort of a direct link to Chaplin.
And she was part of that multimedia recital tour that you've been doing?
That's correct. Yes. Kiera opened those recital for us. And the multimedia tour actually concentrated on Chaplin's encounters with the composers that I just mentioned. His meetings with Debussy.
I did want to ask you more about that because it's kind of fascinating to think that he knew composers like Rachmaninoff, Debussy, Stravinsky. Can you touch on that a little bit more?
Absolutely. Well, this is part of my story during the Chaplin Smile show. I made the musical connections between Chaplin's songs and the music of the composers that either influenced him or that he has met, or composers that actually help him. It is a known fact, Chaplin describes it in his My Autobiography, that Arnold Schoenberg came to the premiere of Modern Times and afterwards came up to Chaplin and said that your movie is excellent, but your composing skills are quite bad. Chaplin listened and he learned a lot from Schoenberg, and he was very much influenced by Debussy. And Rachmaninoff dined at Chaplin's house together with Horowitz, and he shared meals with Gershwin, and the list goes on what inspired and transpired. Mm-hmm. But on the CD, what we tried to accomplish is to have a variety of genres and styles that Chaplin implemented in his films, such as tango. Several waltzes. There are foxtrots and swings. There are just plain, beautiful melodies. For example, Marta mentioned The Kid as one of our favorites, but I also would like to mention Love Song, which comes from a movie called The Freak, a movie that never came out, but the song is just gloriously beautiful. Something that I certainly would select, you know, as one of my personal favorites.
I want to ask you about Joshua Bell's appearance on this recording. I know you guys are friends, and he appears on probably the most popular song, which comes from Modern Times, Smile.
Many years ago, we met actually at the Grammys. We were both nominated and we both lost. So I think we, you know,
commiserated
on that. And, you know, from that point, You know, it is not that often, actually, that, you know, violin soloists are so friendly with each other. But I happen to be very close friends with several wonderful musicians, soloists out there. And probably the closest with Joshua, as we have performed a lot of chamber music together over the years. So when we brought the project to Warner Classics, they actually asked me if there was a guest artist that I would like to invite to complete the CD. And of course, this was a no-brainer. I immediately suggested Josh. And when I spoke with Josh, he was also quite fascinated about the project, that Chaplin was a composer, and he knew about Smile, that Chaplin wrote it. And we discussed what other song could work well as a duet for two violins and piano, and it was Mandolin Serenade, which is from another Chaplin film called A King in New York. And and then, you know, we just found this one day when all three of us could be there. Marta flew from Chicago, I was already in New York, and Josh was between several tours as well. And we just got to work. And I have to say that, you know, aside from the fact that Josh, of course, has so much experience with doing a lot of song arrangements in the last few years, and always coming up with very virtuosic and beautiful solution for those songs, you know, that experience, you know, really helped also creating the best out of Smile and Mandolin Serenade, because he immediately had lovely ideas in terms of structure and what needs to be changed, what we can adjust. And we were working very hard. Even during the sessions, we amended things, we changed very quickly. And, you know, I feel that it was very, you know, in the end, it was very rewarding to have Josh give so much of his love of, you know, of music for this project.
He really gets right to the core of the music right away.
Yeah.
It was really inspiring.
Also just
to
a tremendous instinct you know, for music.
One of the charming things about the Mandolin Serenade is the fact that there is no mandolin. Do you want to talk about how you created that sound?
Well, you know, it's very interesting how many people noticed that there is no mandolin and yet it sounds like one. And you know, I thought at some point that maybe we do need to invite somebody that plays mandolin, or at least balalaika from my Russian land. But then, you know, I started again fiddling around, which is, you know, how each of the tracks began, fiddling around. And I figured out a way to be able to pizzicato at this crazy speed that sounded like there is mandolin. And that also, with combined with occasional tremolo in the bow, that sort of created an effect of having a mandolin on the recording.
Philippe, would you talk a little bit about Charlie Chaplin and how he played the violin? Because he actually strung the instrument in reverse.
Yes, that's correct. That's another fascinating fact about Chaplin. And he was what is considered to be a left-handed violinist. So he was holding violin in his right hand, and he played with his bow in a left hand. And the reason for doing that is actually because he felt he had more dexterity in his right hand, right fingers to press on strings. So whenever we see images of Chaplin, it always looks like a reversed negative that is a mistake, but it actually is not.
Can I ask each of you to just conclude by telling me why this was such an incredible journey for you?
Well, it's almost like we're approaching music from a different side, from a visual side, you know, and the places one simple melody can take you. You know, so much was involved in just in simplicity for Chaplin, so much pathos, so much pain. He was quoted as saying, you know, comedy is never far from tragedy, and somehow he can exhibit this in a melody. You know, we're listening to Smile, the song Smile, and yet we're crying. You know, I really admire that dichotomy, and the dichotomy of tragedy and humor in life. You know, I love the sentiment. For me, that is a valuable project, and connecting that feeling with audiences who feel the same way, it sparks that sentiment in them, that memory, that dichotomy, that crying, laughing, that point where those two merge, for some reason is just very fascinating to me, and I've really adored working and unfolding this project with one of my great friends, Philip. I mean, when you work with someone you really admire, it makes the project that much more valuable. And
it's not because I'm sitting here.
No, I really mean
no,
that.
No, I appreciate it. And, you know,
he works so hard. You know, he's worked so hard throughout from the very beginning. And he goes through everything so thoroughly. And it takes so much out of him. I just really admire him as a musician and as a friend.
Well, the feeling is obviously mutual. And, you know, Marta contributed so much to this project as well. And I think to answer your question, for me, you know, this is a project of discovery. But, you know, for 3 years, it was first my personal discovery, then together with Marta. But now I just wanted for the world to discover Chaplin in a whole different light. That's one part. And two is, you know, most of my seasons, I'm still playing concertos by Mendelssohn, Bruch, Tchaikovsky, Brahms, Sibelius, and this is great music. And in recitals, we're still doing Beethoven, Brahms sonatas with occasional premieres of contemporary music. And with Chaplin's project, you know, it was a little bit like finding a needle in a haystack. I feel that a lot of artists are looking right now to present something new and some sort of a unbeaten path, which is very difficult to find. And you know, with Chaplin, you know, I do feel that I have something new, something that people have not heard about, and hopefully something that people will enjoy for years to come.
Yes, and it's something that's always been there. You know, it's always been there. We're not starting something new. That's what I think that's been such an incredible discovery, is just redefining what's always been there for the audiences.
Chaplin's Smile, a brand new recording featuring violinist Philippe Quint and pianist Marta Osnavorian. That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julia Macher.